So reading from John's Gospel, the 9th chapter, I'll start with the first verse and pick up some along the way. As he, speaking of Jesus, as Jesus went along, he's approaching the temple in Jerusalem. As Jesus went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night's coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word, Siloam, means sent. So the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. He said, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed, and then I could see." Now, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words in Holy Scripture. They come to us from thousands of years ago. And we might think they're from way back, and they don't have any connection with us, but Lord, they're on point this morning for so many people in this room and people that we know. Come, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive the truth that you would have us to gather this morning. In your name we do pray it. Amen and amen. What makes a miracle is that it's unexpected. It's unexpected. And the Bible is the revelation of a God who does unexpected things. He does unexpected things that at unexpected times, in unexpected situations, for unexpected reasons, in the lives of unsuspecting people. Are you expecting a miracle today? Most of us are unexpecting. And I think that's where Jesus likes to work. God never conforms. God never moves within the limitations of the ordinary or the obvious. God goes where others will not go. He speaks when others are silent. He acts when others are immobilized. The God that we worship has the power to level mountains and to raise valleys. He commands, and nature obeys. He never forgets. He never forsakes. And that's why we say God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And get this, he plants his footsteps in the sea, and he rides upon the storm. Oh, my friends, the God whom we serve is the God of the unexpected. When you read through the scriptures, you ever notice how much is unexpected in there? We read novels and all kinds of stories. We watch junky TV shows, and they're all predictable in there. You can't read the Bible that way, because we worship a God who does the unexpected. When Noah landed his ark on the top of Mount Ararat, after 40 days and 40 nights of flood-filled days, weeks in this boat. 40 days and 40 nights in what some might call was the world's first zoo. When he lands that ark on top of Mount Ararat, God did the unexpected. When when Moses touched his rod on the waters, and the people of Israel walked across the Red Sea, the waters had parted, they walked across on dry ground. When that happened, God did the unexpected. When God sent his representatives to Jericho to find refuge in the house of a prostitute named Rahab, God did the unexpected. When God sent his prophet Samuel to anoint a young shepherd boy named David to be King Saul's successor as the next king of Israel, God did the unexpected. When God used Esther to defy Haman and to stand before King Xerxes to proclaim to the world, "If I perish, I perish," God did the unexpected. When God wrapped himself in human flesh to be born as a baby in a Bethlehem stable, God did the unexpected. When God submitted himself to the shame of crucifixion on a hill called Calvary, when God, who knew no sin, took upon himself your sin and mine, God did the unexpected. Now, I could go on and on, but I think I've made the point. The Bible is the revelation of a God who does unexpected things at unexpected times, in unexpected situations, for unexpected reasons, in the lives of unexpecting people. The text I just read to you a few moments ago was from the 9th chapter of John's Gospel. If we go back to the early part of it, in the 2nd chapter, Jesus turns 6 big stone pots of water, turns that water into wine, and as he does that, he turns embarrassment into celebration. That's the unexpected. In the 3rd chapter, Jesus tells a midnight visitor, a member of the religious establishment named Nicodemus, that he must be born again. That's the unexpected. In the 4th chapter, Jesus holds an intimate conversation by Jacob's well with a Samaritan woman whose background and lifestyle is checkered at best. That's the unexpected. In the 5th chapter, Jesus heals a paralytic by the Bethesda pool. In the 6th chapter, he feeds 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and then he walks on water. My friends, everything Jesus did was unexpected. And that brings us to my text for today from the 9th chapter of John's Gospel. So dramatic is Jesus' encounter with the man born blind that John spends the entire chapter, devotes all the chapter to this one unexpected event. Let's unpack it. My outline for the story, here's the outline of my sermon. We'll follow it as we go along. There's a man who was born blind. His blindness is a source of controversy. His eyes are anointed with strange medicine. He's sent to the pool of Siloam to wash, and an unexpected miracle follows. Now, I'll work down through it point by point with you. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. We don't see a lot of blind folks these days. I had 2 cousins who were born blind. It's been a long time ago. There was a lady at the service, the 10 o'clock service on the historic campus last week when I preached this. She was 93 years old, she told me. She came up after the service. Her son was helping her. She was holding on to his arm, had a cane. And she said, "I'm blind, but I can see. I can see." A lot of us are blind too, but we can't really see. The man was born blind. So his blindness is not the result of some kind of sickness or accident that might make his lack of sight more understandable to us. No, he was born blind. He's never seen the sun rise or set. He's never looked into the eyes of his mother and father. He's never seen the faces of the others like him, who every day are sitting outside the gates of the temple in Jerusalem begging for handouts. The fact that he's no longer a child tells us that somewhere along the way he's come to grips with his blindness. And quite possibly years earlier he'd thrown up his hands in resignation and decided that what he'd never had, he could never miss. Over my years of pastoring, it's been clear to me that many folks would like to have a miracle in their lives. But nobody wants to be in a situation where their only hope is a miracle. Well, apart from a miracle, the blind man in today's text was destined to spend his whole life in total darkness. Now, because I'm plowing familiar ground, I suspect a few of you might be feeling comfortable at this juncture. You're thinking, well, the old boy's talking about a story from 2,000 years ago. He's talking about an event that happened in Jerusalem. And while it might be interesting, it really doesn't have anything at all to do with my 21st century life here in Bluffton. Well, folks, let me tell you, I don't believe that. I say that because I'm convinced there's somebody here today who needs a miracle. Somebody who's stumbling through life trying to make it on their own. Somebody who, for all intents and purposes, is living in a world of darkness. And that somebody could be you. It could be that every day you look at yourself, but you don't really see yourself because you're blind. Oh, sure, you can see what's on the outside, but you can't see what's on the inside. You're not a child. You're an adult. And yet when you look at the world around you, you are oblivious to the realities before you. There's something in your life that everybody can see except you. There's somebody in your life who's dragging you down and keeping you from being all you could be. Everybody else can see it, but you. You're blind, I tell you. Just like the blind man in today's text, you go to the same places every day. You do the same things. In essence, you beg for the same handouts. But you're really no better at the end of the day than you were at the beginning of the day because you're still blind. Still blind. You read the Bible. Read the Bible regularly. But yet you can't see the truths that God is trying to show you in scriptures because you're spiritually blind. You've joined this congregation, but you've not yet taken the hand of Jesus. And neither have you entered into true fellowship with his people. You've mistaken this church building as a gathering place for society's in crowd. When it's not. No, the church is a hospital. It's a hospital that specializes in removing spiritual cataracts so that you can see the Lord and you can see yourself for the very first time in your life. Please hear me, folks. there's somebody here today who needs a miracle. And either they don't realize it, or they're too proud to admit it. And perhaps that somebody is you. Getting back to the deeper meaning of my text this morning, let's continue through the outline. There's a man who was born blind. Next, his blindness is a source of controversy. When Jesus and his disciples encounter the man born blind, the disciples try to draw Jesus into a controversial rabbinical teaching concerning sin. They want him to wade into those controversial waters. They say, Rabbi, that's what they call Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now that seems cryptic to us in the 21st century, but we need to know that in that day and place, that it was commonly believed that ill health of any kind could only be attributed to some act of sin. You need to know too that rabbis commonly taught that an infant could sin while still in the womb and then be required to pay a lifelong of retribution for that prenatal sin in the form of ongoing illness and disability. So when they see the man born blind, it's just natural that they just say, Lord, the fellow's born blind here. Who sinned? Was it him or was his parents? But see, Jesus didn't think that way. Look again at the first verse of today's text. It says that Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Look at that little word, saw a man. How many people do you see every day? You see a lot of them, don't you? But most of them are just part of the scenery of life. Jesus saw the man. He intently engaged with the man. He saw him. He didn't see his past. He saw his present. He didn't see his problems. He saw his possibilities. As Jesus passed by, he saw a person. He saw a human being in need. He saw a man with a dreadful condition. He saw a man who was blind. He saw him. He didn't pass him by. He engaged him. Back to the outline. There's a man who was born blind. His blindness is a source of controversy. Third, his eyes are anointed with strange medicine. Strange medicine. Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Wouldn't you think it was strange if somebody came up to you and spit on the ground and made some mud and said, let me put this on your eyes? Strange medicine. Strange medicine. Friends, when God wants to change your circumstances and the conditions of your life, he often uses strange medicine. And it may not be medicine that you want to take. But if you really want to get the full benefit of what God's offering, you're going to have to embrace it. Even if you doubt its value, even if taking it makes you angry, even if taking it moves you to tears. Moves you to tears. You know, when I was a child, there was no such thing as the doc in the box. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about? These little clinics that are all around. You can scoot in there and you get a shot and somebody will take your temperature and pat your hand and tell you what's going on. We didn't have any dock in the boxes when I was growing up, but we didn't need them. Because you see, my mother had a dock in the bottle. She believed that castor oil would cure any ailment. Now, I'm a child back in the early 40s. My mama was practicing preventive medicine back then before anybody was ever talking about preventive medicine. Whenever one of my two sisters or I would start talking about we don't feel well, or we start moping around, my mother would take that bottle of that thick, nasty, black concoction, and she would just sit it on the counter in the kitchen. Now, she wouldn't say anything about it. It would just sit there silently. And as we walked by, we could see it, and we could tell right away what was ahead if we didn't perk up. Now the thing is, I still don't know if castor oil has any medicinal value. But boy, seeing that bottle, it made you want to stay out of bed and keep on keeping on. It really did. Castor oil was strange medicine. That saliva mixed with dirt, that was strange medicine too. Back to my outline. There's a man who was born blind. His blindness is a source of controversy. His eyes are anointed with strange medicine. And then next, he's sent to the pool of Siloam to wash. Go, Jesus told him. Wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed. Now, in essence, after Jesus anointed the man's eyes, he told him, if you seriously want something miraculous to happen in your life, then you're going to have to do something for yourself. Hear it from the blind man's own mouth. He said, the man they called Jesus made some mud. He put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, and so I went and washed. The point is, the blind man was obedient. He got involved as Jesus directed. Nobody else could go to the pool for him. Nobody else could wash in the pool for him. He had to go and wash for himself. Friends, I'm convinced that God has a miracle for many folks today. Perhaps he has a miracle for you today. But there are some things you got to do for yourself. Let me just get off the script a little bit here and share something that just came to my mind. People come to me sometimes and they ask, I've been praying for God to do this and for God to do that. They've been praying for this or that kind of miracle, and God hadn't answered their prayers. Not in the way they wanted. The most common miracle that people seem to be looking for today is relief from debt. They're burdened down, they're drowning in debt. And they want God to do away with that. They want God to give them some relief. And I think God hears the prayers. I know he hears everybody's prayers. But I think when he hears those prayers, He weeps. And I think that he wants to speak to us and say, I know you're suffering, but I love you enough to say no. To say no. I got some strange medicine for you. You're not going to like it. You're probably going to weep over it, but you gotta embrace it. I want you to sell your boat and all your other toys. I want you to cut up your credit cards. I want you to quit hanging around with your buddies that drink and smoke. You're just throwing money away there. I want you to grow up. I can't do that for you. I'm not going to do it for you. Because, see, I don't want you to be sitting by the side of the road begging all the rest of your life for people to help you out. I created you to stand on your own two feet. I gave you all kinds of resources. And you need to learn to be a good steward of all that I've given you. I want you to go to that pool, wash off all these habits you've got, and I'll do a miracle in your life. I really will. I'll give you self-discipline. I'll give you patience. I'll give you perseverance. I'll give you the courage to live within your means. I'll take away from you the desire to keep up with the Joneses and everybody else out there because they're drowning in debt too. I want to do a miracle in your life, but you got to do for yourself. You got to do what you can do, and you can do all of that. I am not an ATM machine where you just punch in there and I'll give you whatever you want. No. I love you too much for that. You got to grow up. I created you to love you, and the greatest love a parent can have with their children is to say no. And I'm telling you no to the kind of miracle you want, and I'm telling you I got another miracle for you, a better miracle, so that you won't spend your whole life begging by the side of the road. Go to the pool. Do what you can do. Wash in that pool. Well, the blind man did that. And you know what happened? The mud came off. And he could see. He could see. Everybody else could see him sitting by the side of the road. But see, he was blind. He couldn't see himself. He couldn't see what was going on in his life. And that's the way many of us are. We're blind to the realities around us. And the castor oil is sitting right there. Right there. And God says you can keep on sitting by that road the rest of your life if you want to. And if the blind man hadn't gotten up, I think he'd still be sitting there today. You got to do what you got to do. God is not in the handout business. He's in the hand up business. And he'll partner with you. But he's not going to do things instead of you. Let me get back to my outline. There's a man who was born blind. His blindness is a source of controversy. His eyes are anointed with strange medicine. He's sent to the pool of Siloam to wash, and an unexpected miracle follows. So I went and washed, and then I could see. That's what the blind man said. I trusted. I was obedient. I did what I could do. And wow, the thing that I've been praying for all my life, I could see. I could see. And you know what? This text doesn't say that the fellow was sitting by the road crying out to Jesus, I'm blind. Doesn't say that, does it? It said Jesus saw him. It doesn't say he could see Jesus. Jesus saw him. And after he went and washed, he could see Jesus. The God who does unexpected things at unexpected times and unexpected situations for unexpected reasons had suspended the laws of nature. And he put the laws of science on hold. Why? To perform an unexpected miracle in the life of an unexpecting blind man. Now the formerly blind man, when he can see, he couldn't possibly have understood what had just happened. He couldn't have understood this idea of what does mud have to do with all that? He couldn't have understood it. But see, it wasn't about the mud at all. It was about obeying Jesus. It's about trusting in Jesus. See, you never can understand miracles, and that's because miracles are never explainable apart from God. The only thing that formerly blind man knew was that he had trusted Jesus. What about you? Do you trust Jesus? Friends, there's a lot I don't understand, but I do trust Jesus. I may not understand why I have to cry sometimes, but I trust that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. I may not understand why sometimes forces seem to be rising up against me, but I trust that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. The time may come when I won't understand why I'm having to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But when that time comes, I trust that he who is my shepherd will be with me. I'll close with this. I pray that there are more than a few folks here today who can join with the man born blind and say, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. And like him, they can testify with that blind man, Lord, I believe. For you see, friends, the God of the unexpected has ordained that every miracle begins and ends with his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it is, dear ones. And so it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's so much of your word for us to see. And in seeing, believing. But oh, we skip and dip over those words. We don't see them. We don't look into them the way that Jesus looked into that blind man's life. We don't probe for the deeper truths. We don't probe for the relationships between what was and what is. We don't see ourselves as that blind man sitting by the side of the road begging. We don't see that. Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. Touch us with your healing hand. Do a miracle in our lives, not the miracle that we want, but the miracle you want for us. Oh, you created us for so much more than begging. Come, Lord Jesus, fill our cups to the running over. Enable us to trust you. To trust you even when you say no, because you want more for us than we want for ourselves. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. In your name we do pray it. Amen.